Thankful that you're with us. We have guests among us today. Hey, there's one guest among us who you may recognize. He's sitting back here. His name's Alex Lafferty. Alex, wave your hand so everybody recognize who you are. Y'all remember him? Y'all remember him? We love you, brother. It's good to see you. It's good to see you. He'll shoot me for telling you you wouldn't do that right here in this building, though, so I get away with it. He'll shoot me later for telling you this, but Alex has just recently donated more land property to Camp Areopagus, and we thank him for that. You've just been a blessing to us, brother, and we appreciate you very, very much. Hey, we got other guests among us. This is the Mahan family sitting over here. All of you are going to want to meet them. Let's see. I said Mahan. Amanda? Did you get that? Are y'all related? She don't know. Y'all might be. I wouldn't claim it either, though, you know. Y'all may be family, okay? You may be family. We're glad you guys are here. Thank you for being with us. And there are others who are guests among us. We're honored that you're going to be. I'm going to introduce to you a speaker in just a moment. But before I do, so I don't have to get back up here later, next Sunday morning is Mother's Day. Y'all know that, right? It's Mother's Day. And we just want to honor all of the mothers in our congregation, but not just those who are mothers. If you have a mother or had a mother, now how many does that leave out? Then we want you to be here, okay? Next Sunday morning at 9 o'clock, meet us over in the fellowship room, and we're going to have a little refreshments together, but we're going to honor all of our mothers, both living and dead, for just a few moments, okay? We're going to honor all of our mothers. So you show up a little early next Sunday morning, and we'll take care of that just before our Bible class hour. You'll want to be here for that. We're thankful for those mothers. The other thing that is coming up, this is the first time for it to be announced, on the last Sunday in the month, that's the 28th of May, we're calling it a great day in May. Yes, it's Memorial Day weekend, but we're challenging every member of this congregation to be in attendance. Some of you are already thinking, wait a minute, I got plans. That's Memorial Day weekend. I got family. You got Saturday. Don't you? You got Saturday. You got Monday. Do you think the Lord would want His children to worship Him on Sunday? So take it up with Him. Okay? But we're asking every member of this congregation be in attendance on that Sunday. It'll just be a great day for us. Okay? After our morning services, we're going to have a cookout together. And then in the afternoon, we're going to enjoy a singing together. Just sing for a while. Okay? To sing praises to God. So we want you to be here for that. We are blessed this morning to have some folks. You remember about a month ago, what now hasn't it been? About a month ago, the ladies, Artreva Widener, put it together, and ladies from all over Arkansas. You didn't have any from out of state, did you? No. Yeah, you had one. You had one. Sister Heffington. Yes. Sister Heffington, okay. From all over, though, they came together for a weekend where they just sewed and put together things for people that'll be used around the world. And in talking to Brother David Heffington, who's with Healing Hands International, he told us about some other opportunities for service that we can be involved in, and we wanted to hear about them. There are some who want to start some of these things, and Treva wants to have two of those things. Was it two or four? Okay. She wanted to do some more of those. But this is Brother David Heffington. He's from that, and his wife, they're from Nashville, Tennessee. They've driven over to be with us this morning, and he's going to tell you about some of these opportunities, and you be making notes saying, hey, here's what I can do in these different ways. Instead of writing it off and saying, hey, that's not something let our attitude be. Here's ways we can help. Here's ways we can be involved in that. We can do great things, can't we? And we're thankful that Brother David has come to be with us. We're going to give you the rest of the time, brother.
That should be on. I can hear it, so that's on. Now, if you noticed, I did not come up the same way that the song leader did, because I wanted to stand up once I made that real big step there. And if I'd tried that, I'd have probably been laying down.
He does too.
He does too, huh? Oh, you've already set that example. Well, good. I'm glad that we have people that set good examples for all of us. It's good to be here this morning. I'm David Heffington. My wife Nancy's here with us. I work with Healing Hands International. I've been with Healing Hands for, about 19 and a half years now. So I have been to a lot of churches around, about 850 to 900 churches where I've spoken with somebody or everybody. But it's good to be here. It's always good to be with my family in Christ. Wherever I go, I know what we're going to be doing in church worship service. I know because we all use the same plan, the same pattern, and we end up doing basically the same things because that's what the scriptures tell us is the example that we should follow. It was about 3 weeks ago when we had the sewing effort over here. My wife and I came over. We knew that we would be picking up some supplies that had been made and would be donated. We brought some, raw materials over so patterns could be used to cut material and then things sewn and so forth. We did not have any idea what to expect. We were just blown away by the fact that Trill had been able to put together a group of over 43 people, 44, 45, somewhere along in there, people who brought sewing machines, and shears, and things like that to work with while they were, while others were doing other things. And it represented 10 churches in Central Arkansas. To get 10 churches together in the Brotherhood today is pretty remarkable. And Trevi, you did a very good job. We appreciated it, Healing Hands. We took back a couple of weeks ago what we could in the SUV that we had, and then we got another SUV and came back, and yesterday picked up the rest of the stuff. And we thought we were full, but Treva gave us three more bags of stuff this morning. So we did find a place to stuff those in the back of the car. But the overflowing love that was shown by this congregation and by others is just, it's an example that we ought to talk about and use as an example among the churches to get people together, get them to doing a common thing so that the Lord's will be done, not only here in this area by doing these things, but in the areas where the supplies are sent to help bring people to Christ. And everything that we do, Colossians 3, about 14, talks about above all things, put on love. And at that retreat, I didn't see anything that wasn't love towards somebody else and helping somebody else and so forth. Colossians, that's Colossians 3:17. In Matthew chapter 25, they're starting with about verse 31 and going 20 or more verses. Paraphrased, what it says is, on that great day, God will have before him all the people of all the nations. And they'll be together. And Jesus will separate the sheep from the goats. The sheep are those that follow him and do his commandments. He puts on the right hand. The goats are on the left hand. So we want to be a part of that group that's on the right-hand side. And what does he say about what will get us there? And that's the question that the sheep ask, why are we over here? And the answer is because I was sick, I was hungry, I was in jail, I didn't have anything to wear, and things like this. I was in that condition, and you ministered unto me. You helped me. And that's what Healing Hands is all about. We want to help people. We want to enhance the reputation of the local mission point in the foreign field. And we want to help bring people to Christ. The things that we do are simply tools in the hands of your missionaries to help your missionaries be more effective in bringing people to Christ. That's the end result that we want, is helping to bring people to Christ. These things that you do and the things that you make and the things that you send will break down barriers, whether it's at the top of the government all the way down to the individual heart. And when people see the love of Christ, they see it, they like it, they want to see more of it, and they want to know more about it. And then they find out it's motivated by Christ, a person who motivates you to help people you don't know. And they say, I've got to know more about this Christ that motivates you to help people that you don't know. Most of the people we know are doing okay or better. Most of the people that we talk about and we work with would love to live in poverty in the United States, because that would be such a giant step forward from where they are now. When you get up in the morning in some of these third world countries, your number one problem for the day is, how do I feed my family today? It's not, how do I make a grocery list for my trip to the grocery? There's no grocery. There's nothing to write with and nothing to write on, so no list. They've got to do something about taking care of their family on a daily basis. If they don't do that, then their children go to bed hungry. If they do that, their children get probably one meal a day. I couldn't live on one meal a day. I don't eat a whole lot at any particular meal, but I eat a whole lot of meals. I nibble. And it's one more reason I never drank, because I am kind of prone to constantly sipping and nibbling and so forth. And if I took alcohol and got addicted, I would be in bad shape. So never touch this stuff. But the point is, they don't have the opportunity to turn down two meals a day. They get one meal if the family is successful in bringing food to the table that day. And it's an all-day job. And along with that, the daughters and the girls, they go and get water in a bucket, and they carry it back home. And you think, what's the big deal about going to get a little bit of water? Well, they'll walk 4 or 5 miles. They'll get 50, 60, 70 pounds of water. They put it on their head or across their shoulders in a contraption that has buckets out to the side, and they'll walk and they'll carry it back home. And they're going to a source of water that's not clean. It's dirty. It would kill us pretty fast if we drank out of it. For them, they die a whole lot slower, but they die from it. A lot of these places, 2, 3, sometimes 4 out of 5 children die before the age of 5 because the water is bad in some way. That's a terrible, terrible thing to live in. We hear about the virus that came out of Brazil down there, Zika virus. We hear about one case in Memphis, oh, big deal. One case in Tennessee, it's in Memphis. One case in Tennessee, another one found in Chattanooga. They live with it every day. We hear about it on the news when one case shows up or one case shows up here. Can you imagine the concern that you would have if they had 5 cases of Zika virus in Little Rock? That close, and they got 5 cases of it. I wonder how bad it's going to get. How many of us are going to get it? And that's a legitimate concern. But the mosquitoes and so forth that live in the water that these people drink and use every day, they carry things like that. Pure religion and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit the widows and orphans in their afflictions. We help them. You help them with whatever supply that you have. You're willing to give it. You've shown that. I have really been impressed by the love and kindness and support for Jesus' name and doing things in his name. Whatever we do through a Church of Christ Mission Point. If there's not one there when the supplies arrive, we try to have a mission person from another place come and meet that supply and teach the Bible while supplies are being donated to people and so forth. Bringing people to Christ. Everything that we do goes toward that goal of bringing people to Christ. It's good that we save their life by having food for them, or we save their life by having pure water. That's good. But the most important thing that you're doing is you're bringing people toward Christ and helping them learn and so forth about Christ. It does no good to look at a situation and say, oh, be ye warmed and filled, as the scripture says. It takes action to do God's word. God says when you see it, do something about it. And that's what we do collectively. This church and other churches get together. We bring the stuff to Nashville, and then where a oversight church or a mission-minded church says we need supplies to go to our mission point, then we have them in our supply house, our warehouse there in Nashville, about 28,000 square feet. And it's piled up one level, two levels, and then ladder top level. Three levels deep in 28,000 square feet. That is a lot of supplies. Those supplies have been given by people like you. And then when people like you need things, you can come to us. If we have it, then we'll make it available to you. Because we want to help this church help your mission points be more effective in bringing people to Christ. That's what it's all about, is bringing people to Christ. Bible tells us to lay up treasures in heaven. And to me, that means not just I pulled out my wallet and I gave a $20 bill. That's laying up a treasure of a sort, yes. But to me, laying up a treasure in heaven is when you do something for somebody who can't reciprocate directly to you. When you do something for somebody that can't do it back to you. Invite people to the meal who cannot invite you back and pay you back. In that case, you have your reward. So, excuse me, doing things for people who cannot do the same things back for us, that's where the blessing comes in, if we do it in the name of the Lord. And everything we do. Whatever you do in word or in deed, do in the name of the Lord. We practice that, and we help you practice that by getting things to the right place at the right time. To have people believe in Jesus Christ, we have to have them know about Jesus. So I want all of you to look down at your feet. There's some heads I don't see. Look down at your feet. Scripture says, beautiful are the feet of those that go and preach the gospel. Do you have beautiful feet? And you say, well, I can't go on a mission trip. You can't go on a mission trip. Can you go next door? Can you go across the street? Can you go and talk to family members? Go and preach the gospel. But in talking about foreign missions and so forth, let's back up a little bit. It says, how can they believe in him they've not heard? How can they hear except somebody preach? How can they preach? Go. How can they go except somebody send? So now look down at your feet, and do you have beautiful feet because you're going or because you're sending? As Christians, we need to do one or the other. And at different times in our lives, we do different things. When we had six children at home, my wife didn't think it was a good thing for me to go off on mission trips. Can't understand about her wanting help with the children. I don't know. But she didn't think it was a good time. All of our children are grown. They're adults, most of them married, and have children of their own. So now we can do things like this. We did go a few times out of the country. But on my last trip coming from Honduras, I had a heart attack on the airplane and went to the hospital when I got back to Nashville. The doctor said, I don't want you leaving Middle Tennessee. I got to stay right on your case, and I've got to make sure you're okay and so forth. I said, Doctor, I can get first world health care anywhere in the United States, so I won't go out of the country, but I will do what I can in the States. I've been to over 20 states now since then talking, and that was just 18 years ago. So hopefully I'll have a few more years to do that, but we do what we can, limited by the resources that we have and limited by maybe physical conditions or whatever. Sometimes the only thing we can do is pray. Had cancer 4 years ago. Let me tell you something about prayer. The cancer doctors and the whole staff, when I went in, I found this out 2 years later. They didn't want to tell me at the time. They said, this man has no chance of survival. I went through my treatments. I've been 4 years now with no sign of recurrence. I had people on five continents praying for me. Of course, I don't know people on five continents, but I had people praying for me that didn't know me. But prayer was effective. And here I am today. As a result, I am sure of the prayers of people all around the world. So when you pray for somebody, you don't have to know them by name. Just know their condition and know how to ask God to help them. It's what got me through my ordeal, and it's what has allowed me to be here today, is prayer. Prayer is powerful. So if that's what you can do best, then that's what you should do, is pray. And when you can, pray for people by name. If you don't know the name, pray for the situation. God knows the name. God knows what we intend when we pray. But Healing Hands International, we help people in third world countries through oversight congregations, mission-minded congregations. We will work with you to send supplies or send technology or to send whatever it is that you need at your mission point. We're not a mission society. We don't send out missionaries. We don't do evangelism. That's your job. That's the job of the church. And I've seen the list of things that y'all work with, and it's very impressive, I think. And for the countries that y'all work in, we have worked, I think, in each of those countries with other Christians that are there. So appreciate what you're already doing. What I want you to think about for a few minutes are some things that Healing Hands does. Of course, we've already talked some about the sewing. We're talking about taking a T-shirt, for instance, and across this part right here, cut it the right way, sew it a couple of times, fold it a couple of times, sew it again, and you've got a diaper. You can take the collar part of the shirt, and you can make a bilbat out of it. Then you can take the sleeves of a T-shirt, cut it the right way, turn it wrong side out, sew it, turn it right side out, and you've got a little hat. No, it's not a beautiful hat, maybe, unless there's something pretty on the sleeve of a shirt. But it's a hat that will keep a baby from being cold or getting sunburned in these third world countries. Things like that, or take a pillowcase, cut out a spot for the neck, cut out armholes, put maybe a little bit of ribbon across it. And we have one lady that got a real joy out of putting three buttons on it. And it were beautiful. And she just got excited every time she finished one. Well, there's excitement in what we do. Know when you're doing these things, I'm helping somebody today. That gives you a good feeling. When I became a member of the Healing Hands family, I knew that whatever I did when I got to work, I'd be helping somebody today. Well, you can have that experience too. It makes you feel good. The better you feel about what you're doing, the more you'll want to do. The more you want to do, the better you feel. get on the stepladder going up in attitude and so forth, not the, oh, I wish the church was doing something when you see a disaster. Know that the church is doing something to help people around the world, and you can be a part of it. You should be a part of it. Another thing that we do is we have sent medicines of all types. Sometimes $250,000 shipment of medicine will go to a location, and it'll be divided out among several hospitals. When we send something of that value, the Minister of Donations, I'm talking cabinet level people in these countries, the Minister of Donations, the Minister of Medical work and so forth, and everybody all the way down to the local people on the street who are receiving that, know Christians sent this in the name of Christ to the glory of God. Everybody from the top of the government down, everybody is glad that those medicines come in. But they also are very glad when food comes in, or when medical supplies, equipment, wheelchairs and walkers and crutches and even a burn unit, the big wheel that they put you in when you're badly burned, and they can roll you in that so that you don't get bed sores where you have been burned and so forth. We've sent things that elaborate, x-ray units, the whole unit we have sent to different places around the world. There are other things that we do, but two things that I want to bring up specifically, and that is the Magi program. Magi, M-A-G-I. In the Churches of Christ, that is interpreted as making a godly impact. In reality, it's a Christmas gift. And we had to come up with something to make it a little more acceptable. But it is a Christmas gift the size of a shoebox, and we have one out here on the table that you can take a look at. We have instructions on boys, girls, infants, next group, and so forth. We have the instructions of what can go in a box and what can't. These boxes will go to a child in a third world country, a developing country, that may never have had anything of their own. They may never have had anything new. All the clothes, all of the toys that they might call toys were handed down. Now they've got a little box, and it's theirs. And they're sitting there, and they begin to open that, and they get excited by what they see, and they're smiling, and everything they pick up is great. There's a toy, there's some clothes, there's some toothpaste and a toothbrush, something we've never had before. The child is just elated at what they get. And mom and maybe grandmom are standing back and watching. Why did y'all do that for my child? You don't know us. It's because we're Christians and Christ wants us to help people. Well, I need to know more about this Christ that motivates you to help people you don't know. The impact of that box, a $20 or so gift, the impact of it is such that in eternity you will meet people who were first introduced to God, to Jesus, through that little box of gifts. The impact is immense in these villages where this goes. Another thing that is of immense importance, one of the most important things we do, is Walk for Water, or actually it's the water program, where we dig wells and we send strainers and purifiers and things like that to people that need water. If you've seen the pictures of the little girl going down and dipping water out of a pond that's used by men and by animals and taking that home, and that's what mom uses for supper and so forth. Do they know to cook it or cook it? Do they know to heat it, boil it for 20 or 30 minutes? No. They just don't know. Nobody ever told them. It's one of the things my wife taught people, is how to purify your water. Get it where it won't kill you, where it won't kill your children. But when we can go into an area like that, and preferably on church property, dig a water well, put a pump on it, pipe it, and put a pad around it, and give it to the church locally. It's not on church property to keep other people away from the water. It's there to bring people to the church building, to the church property. While they're standing in line, the minister, the evangelist there, can meet them, invite them to church, invite them to come back and be with a ladies group or a Bible study group. We'll offer Bible studies at your house. People are brought near and are introduced to Christ, are introduced to the church. They believe. When we help satisfy the physical needs of people, and this is quite important, around the world, people want food. People want water. They want their children to be happy. They want their children to have clothes to wear. When we help meet the physical needs, the local evangelist then is trusted to help people with their spiritual needs. So again, we do physical things so that the spiritual can be done more effectively. When you give sewing items, that what y'all gave will go to, oh, it'll probably go to some of the Eastern European countries, a lot of the African countries, a good bit of Central America. It will be spread around, whatever is needed at a specific place. And that's one thing we don't do. We don't look at our warehouse and say, okay, we got a lot of X, so we're going to just ship a lot of X everywhere. No, we take the list that you want for your mission point, and we try to meet those needs. Send people what they need, help them physically, and they will accept your help more likely on a spiritual basis. But you take care of the physical so that you can get the opportunity to take care of the spiritual needs. One way to raise money, and it takes money for all of this, one way to raise that money for wells and for water projects is what we call a walk for water. That's where people will get together. A lot of young people, but a lot of older people enjoy it too. They put together a walk, and it's a fundraiser. So if I'm going to be in the walk, I ask friends of mine to sponsor me. I ask a business to sponsor me, whatever. But it's a fundraiser, and you set it up to be 4 miles long. The 4 miles comes from the fact that every day, girls, it's not a manly thing to go after water. So girls have to go after the water, and they average 4 miles to get their water every day. So we have the walk 4 miles long. Now, sometimes we'll have cans that'll hold about 5 gallons. And our young men, our football players, the tough ones, pick that empty can up. Say, it's no problem. I can carry that 4 miles. So you let them carry it empty 4 miles. Then you fill it up with 50 pounds of water. You give them another one for the other hand and say, okay, take it back. And the football players are saying, what? I got to carry 50, 70 pounds of water? How far? Well, you're a football player. You're in good shape. You ought to be able to do that. You're going to let a 12-year-old girl in a third world country do something every day that you can't do one day? Well, that motivates people, because, and it shows people how hard it is to get good, clean water. 80% of childhood death around the world in the first 5 years of life, I think it's 80%, is caused by water. Most of it by consuming water that's bad, some of it because it's got mosquitoes and everything else in it that carry disease also. 80% of the illnesses, 3 out of 5 children in many of these places die before the age of 5. I have 6 children. At that rate, on average, in one of these countries, I would have 3 children remaining. Think about what it would do to your family. Think about losing 3 out of 5, 3 out of 6, before the age of 5. That's the impact of bad water around the world. for $8,000 or thereabouts, $7,500 to $8,000, you can dig a well, put the pipe in it, put the pad around it, put a pump on it, and have it set and ready to go for your mission point to bring people in, fill their water buckets. First the water, then the living water. But they come and they want to know, why did somebody that doesn't know me do these things for me and my family? We teach people how to be self-sustaining in food production. $15 will buy a drip irrigation kit that will feed a family of seven year-round, year after year after year. We train them to use their own products locally that are acceptable in their culture. Teach them how to rotate the crops. We teach them how to fertilize it and build the raised bed and lay out the drip line. We teach them these things, then they can be self-sustaining. Then that big problem they have every morning of, how am I going to feed my children? How am I going to feed my family? That's taken care of. It's out there in the garden. Now, if I'm the minister or the evangelist, now I've got more time to go and preach. Good. If I'm just a father in the area, then I have time to go out and get some day labor and bring in a little bit of money. Usually there's extra produce in these gardens, so we can sell that down at the market, or we can give it to family, or we can give it to friends who are starving. If we get a little bit of money, and we've had none in the past, that's big, because some people put in more than one of these gardens. They take the produce. That's always the best the local people have ever seen. Instead of cabbage this big, they got cabbage this big. And they want to know, where did that come from? Well, it came from down at the church, things that they teach. Come on down and we'll help you with that. So while we're training somebody to do the agriculture, we're training them to be a Christian and to train somebody else to do those two things also. First the bread, then the bread of life. Start with the physical and work to the spiritual. That's the way these things work. We have helped people all around the world. Thousands, hundreds of thousands of people are eating out of these gardens every day. Thousands of lives have been saved. Thousands and thousands of souls have been saved because people like you cared, got involved, did a walk for water, raised money for a well, worked with the Magi Project, helped little children to experience the love of Christ, the love of God. Mama and Daddy and the other adults notice, and they just want to know, who is this Christ? And the local evangelist then has an open door to their heart to speak to them and teach them about Christ. I have bulletin type things of this nature about the different programs. They'll be out on in the foyer. I have a Magi box that if you want to look and see what's in it, it's out there also. And we'll be out there after church this morning to answer questions or give more information if you need it. Appreciate so much the things that y'all are already doing. And we would like to help you be maybe a little more effective or open some new avenues of activity for some people that tell me they're not good at organizing things. And I see that sewing retreat, and I say, don't tell people you can't organize things. You've got this down pat, man. This is a great event that Treva helped put together. She was head of it. It was a great thing. And there are other people that have abilities, and they have talents. Whatever your talent is, give it to God. Do something to help the church get stronger, get bigger, help people come to Christ. Learn about Christ, accept Christ, and then live like Christians. That's what is asked in the Bible. That's what the sheep are going to do. That's what they're going to be recognized on that great day. We ask you to come this morning if you have a need to be baptized, if you have a need to have the prayers of the church. We ask you to come and ask the congregation to help you with those things as together we stand and sing.